Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us today. Are you tired of the cliche sayings that you often hear on ministry programs or from the pulpit, but then nobody ever explains what the cliche means? Are you tired of watching some of the gussed-up plastic preachers that seem to have every last piece in detail? You know, they're just so perfect in every way. Well, you're not going to get any of that with my guest, Jenna Lee Samuel. Her podcast, Java with Jen, makes a point of answering those questions and more, such as, why doesn't anyone ever tell us this stuff? Jen says that she is here to tell you this stuff and more. Amen. Jenna Lee Samuel helps people to grow into a deep personal relationship with Jesus through hearing his voice better and tackling those subjects that will help them in their journey of maturing in Christ. She and her husband, Stephen, are pastors at a church in Orange, Texas. They're focused on discipleship. Praise God. They have four young boys, which probably keeps them very busy. Amen. And they also have a nonprofit organization, which does mission work as well. So help me welcome to the program the host of Java for Jen podcast, Jenna Lee Samuel. Jenna Lee, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Now, first question, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Jenna Lee Samuel?
Oh, man. I am a podcaster. I'm a mother of four, as you mentioned, but I'm really passionate about helping, coming alongside and helping believers mature in their walk with the Lord in hearing his voice, which I feel like is an essential aspect of knowing God, because, you know, many situations that are personal and unique to our lives may not be cut and dry in scripture. And so it's important that, of course, the principles of scripture guide us, but it's important to hear the Lord's voice. Jesus demonstrated that in his life. And that's something I'm just really passionate about. So, but I believe it can be simple. It's meant to be simple, and following Jesus is not meant to be complicated.
Amen. Amen. So let's start with your podcast. Why did you feel it necessary to start a podcast?
Yeah, that's a great question. My husband and I were pastors, and we were college pastors for a season. And when we raised up some pastors to take that from underneath, we discipled them up to take that role. And so we stepped into more of a role within our church. But my role in the church actually was a little less distinct. Sometimes as a pastor's wife, we can fall into this gray zone that's ill-defined. And so I didn't exactly have a real clear parameter for how to continue to walk out discipleship other than those relationships. But I have, you know, a message in my heart. I want to preach the word. I want to teach the word. And so without as much of an outlet for that, and then yet also a desire to continue to pour into the lives of those college women who were growing into young women and mothers and wives, I wanted to continue to have a voice into their life. They were still reaching out for mentorship. And so I thought, you know, a podcast would be a great way to continue to speak into their lives. It also gives me a tool to practice putting a message together on a consistent basis to just sharpen myself as a minister of the gospel. And so, yeah, it was kind of a multifaceted purpose, but it's been a blessing. It's been something I really enjoy.
Amen. Amen. What's been the most challenging aspect of podcasting?
Probably just the logistical side, honestly, being planned ahead and creating a message. There are some weeks when life just gets really busy, and I'm like, I always want to make sure that the content on my podcast is solid and has some depth, and people know they're going to get quality and a lot of substance when they come and listen to my episodes. So to me, it's important to put that extra time into it to make sure they're going to get that. And so sometimes that can be the struggle.
Amen. I've listened, you know, getting ready for the interview, I listened to several of your episodes, and I can picture you sitting at the kitchen table, just having a cup of coffee and just carrying on a conversation, because that's what it sounds like. I mean, you really do a great job interviewing your guests, and it's folks, the links will be down below in the show notes. You need to listen to these episodes because she does a great job. She really does. Now, how does your podcast actually help you in ministry, though?
It has actually really created some open doors for me to connect with people that I wouldn't have otherwise connected with. So I've got, you know, people I've met that are connected to the 700 Club and Compassion International, and one friend who she's going to actually come be on my podcast soon. She's a fashion designer in New York City, which I work in fashion as well as a business owner, but she's also very prophetic, and she was featured on the Elijah List website. And so it's created a connection for me to people that I wouldn't have really had a segue into conversation with otherwise, maybe. But it's also just been an extension. Sometimes if I meet someone and I'm like, you know, we have a quick conversation at church and they share that they're struggling in their walk with the Lord, you know, I'll be like, hey, let's set up some coffee this week. Let's meet. But in the meantime, listen to this episode I put on my podcast, and it might really help you and give you something to think about. Let's talk about it when we get together. And so it's become a resource for people I'm discipling as well. So it's been a blessing in ways I didn't expect.
Amen. Yeah. And I'm the same way. Just having a podcast, like you say, it puts you in contact with people that otherwise you'd probably never be able to talk to them. Right. They come in and they share things with you that it's just like, yeah, amen. That's why the Lord's put us together, and great networking has developed because of it. So yeah, I can understand that 100%, 100%. Your passion, though, is discipleship. When did you realize that this was what the Lord wanted you to focus on in your ministry?
I feel like discipleship has become kind of a cliche phrase that we can sometimes lose the value of the fact that it was actually the final commissioning that the Lord gave us in reaching the world. Discipleship was the tool and the vehicle that he meant for us to do that with. And so as my husband and I really, I think I've been involved in discipleship my whole life and didn't quite realize that's exactly what I was doing. But as a high schooler, I was a small group leader. And so I would meet with consistent people every week, but really just, I think because I'm just relationally built, it kind of was a natural outflow of my personality as well. I just really love sitting and connecting with people and talking about the Lord. And when I was in high school, I remember there was a girl that I was in choir with, and we would sit and we would talk about the Lord every lunch. We'd have lunch together every day. And I would just talk to her about what the Lord was doing in my life. And throughout our years of high school, I didn't realize this, but she started really growing in the Lord and asking me questions about the Bible. Amen. And by the time we graduated, she looked at me and she said, you know, Jenilee, she goes, I didn't realize it, but I think you've been discipling me my whole high school experience. And she said, I didn't know I could learn to hear God's voice. I didn't know that I could get so much out of the Bible, but hearing your experience taught me that. And so when I saw how simple discipleship is, like, I did it accidentally, you know, and then when we got into college ministry, the Chi Alpha model in the assemblies, it's built around discipleship, and it was very natural fit for us because we're both so relational. And we just realized, like, I've preached in front of thousands of people, and I've done things where my voice goes far and wide, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, I mean, like, that's like eating one meal and expecting to stay healthy the rest of your life. Right. You need to eat meals consistently, right? And so discipleship is really about walking through life with people on a relationship level where we take where the Lord has deposited into us and we pour into them to just help them walk through those challenging situations that are difficult. We need each other, and God built his family to be a family. And I've just found that there's so much more depth and maturity and longevity to believers who've been discipled than to believers who have not been. And right. So for us, it's huge. We always challenge people, listen, if you're not connected in a church or in a body of believers somehow, I know different countries, you know, their freedom to be in a church is different, but connected to a body of believers, that is your lifeline as a Christian. And and so it's just borne a lot of fruit. It's powerful.
Amen. Now, you help to disciple people that will then go out and make other disciples, correct? How does that work?
Okay, so we really believe that a true disciple is a disciple who makes disciples. Because if it stops at me, I mean, how disappointing would it be if my kids grow up and none of them have children, right? Like, your legacy is in the generations that come beyond you. And the same thing spiritually, not for my own sake, but I mean, we want to fill heaven and plunder hell, right? And so we want to bring in people. And so my discipleship is incomplete if I'm not training people that God's mission for them is also discipleship. And so, yeah, we really believe that you can judge the fruitfulness of your work as a disciple maker by the second and third generation that come after the people you've discipled. And so.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You mentioned that, if I recall correctly, you mentioned that you help people to hear God's voice, mm-hmm. like your schoolmate. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's a big question. It's simple, and yet it takes practice, because we live in a sensory world, and the Bible talks about, you know, living according to the flesh or according to the spirit. And learning to hear God's voice means that we train ourselves how to tap into our spirit man, because it's our spirit that communicates with God's spirit. There's places in scripture that talk about how God, like with Abraham, that God is the whisper. He isn't the big loud thunder. He isn't the big loud booming voice. He's actually the whisper that is in the calm. And so it's really more about training people. God is always speaking to us. He's speaking to us constantly, but because it's subtle and it's quiet, it actually requires the discipline of us quieting ourselves and learning to develop the discernment between what is my own soul talking and what is perhaps the enemy talking, or the voices that are around me talking, and what is the voice of God that's talking. And we train people primarily, the safest way to develop that is you need to read the Word of God. That is Amen. God's voice written down, Amen. You know,
yeah.
And it trains you to recognize what are the kind of things that God will say. And so I say it's simple in that the kingdom of God is made for children, right? And so anything that God wants us to grow in and flourish in should be simple enough that children can do it. In fact, I've actually sat and walked my children through exercises of how to see God and how to hear his voice, because the word is clear. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And so it's accessible to us. But a lot of believers, I think they just expect that his voice is going to interrupt them or startle them or something like that. And they don't realize that he's actually continually speaking to your spirit. And it's really just about learning to get out of your head and listen to your spirit. And it takes practice. I mean, it's Amen. Not, I mean, my journey was difficult learning how to hear the Lord's voice. Lots of tears, lots of tears, and speak to me, you know, and I had to learn to get still and to listen to his word. And then when I did feel like he was speaking to me, I needed to respond with obedience, and obedience definitely nurtures that sensitivity to his voice as well. So
yeah. Amen.
I hope that answered your question.
Amen. Yeah, that's, you know, and it's 100% spot on. On the same subject though, what are some of the obstacles that you see that are hindering or stopping people from hearing the voice of God?
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a number, and I'm a little cautious to I don't frequently describe all of those things, mostly because people already feel like they're not going to hear his voice. And if I, you know, just naturally people tend to be discouraged about that process. And so I try to be careful not to fill them with even more reasons they think they won't hear his voice. But I find that even as a seasoned, having walked with the Lord for years and knowing his voice for decades, like I still will struggle sometimes, because he doesn't just speak in one volume. You know, just like us right. with a friend, I don't always speak loud. I don't always speak soft. Sometimes I speak you know, with a facial expression or with a note slid across the desk, you know, like God speaks in various ways. And so it's actually kind of an adventure to learn to recognize all the different ways that he's speaking. But I will find that if we're walking in carrying strong offense and unforgiveness in our hearts, it's difficult to hear the Lord's voice because it presents a barrier to my relationship to him. Because the word says that if I do not forgive the people that I have a relationship with, then God cannot forgive me. And so it breaks that fellowship. Pride, like if we're walking in pride, which I believe is a more than just an arrogance, it's actually a condition of living like I don't need the Lord in an area of my life. Pride or humility is really a 100% dependence and trust in him. And that's really humility. And so when we're walking in pride, the word is clear that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so walking in pride is an issue. But again, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to lead us and to grow us and to bring conviction. And so as much as those things can be barriers, I always have to remind the people that I'm coaching through this, like, listen, if you're going to the Lord and asking him to search your heart and deal with your heart, he's going to bring things to mind that are barriers. Like he's going to bring them to your attention. And so those can be barriers though, to answer your question.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's true. And you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, God will speak, you know, through the breeze blowing the leaves and the trees, but he'll also speak through that clap of thunder that'll grab your attention. So, that's good. Now you in the opening remarks, I talked about this nonprofit you formed. Tell us about this nonprofit.
Oh, sure. We have a ministry called Free Life Missions. I mean, it's not massive, but we needed something. My husband was starting to go on so many missions trips. We went on them together early in our marriage before we had children. And he was, you know, taking 3-4 missions trips a year, and he would always bring a team of people. And our mission is always to go and to support the local church wherever we're going. He also loves to go to unreached locations. And so he has wandered through the mountains of Tibet and China to find unreached people groups. And it's pretty phenomenal the way that God has shown up in dreams and visions and all these different things to lead them to find the people. They were followed by the secret police for a while in China, you know? And so, I mean, just really cool stories, but we needed an organization, a formal organization, to cover that and to, provide a tax write-off for people who wanted to give consistently and, somewhere for the money to go through. That way there just was clarity and an organization to it, just so that we could be real, up and up with it, you know? And so, it just created a vehicle for us to be able to do more missions work.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, to be able to have that outlet where someone who wants to go, but can't, you know, I've said before, you know, there's 3 types of people in the world: those that go, those that help those that go, and those that pay for those to go. Every Christian falls in one of those 3 groups, and you know, you help out at church, or you know, as you just described, this foundation is a way for people who would love to be able to reach unreached people groups but can't. They can support your foundation so that someone can go to those people groups, and they get the credit just like the person on the ground. I mean, because it wasn't for them being able to send you, nobody would go. So God honors that. Amen. Amen. Now, you also support a foundation that prevents child trafficking, right?
Yes. And it's primarily Compassion International, which is actually the second largest nonprofit in the world. And many people know of them because they have been around for decades now, and which speaks volumes, especially when they're having to handle as much money as they handle. They're one of the top priorities in their ministry is financial transparency, which was important to me. And, as an entrepreneur, so how I got connected as an entrepreneur, I was like, Lord, I'm tired of ministries or organizations that aren't doing what they say they're doing. We have personally invested into a pastor in Turkey, for a while, for years, actually. And we believed that we were helping to, you know, build the underground church over there. And we were. I mean, my husband was going over there and working with them and met a lot of the pastors and stuff. But later on, we found out that a lot of the money we were sending, that this one pastor was siphoning it and was not using it with integrity. And so my husband, you know, he was able to bring that to light, and that guy was held accountable. And so we were able to then start working with the pastors more directly and make sure the money was going where it needed to. But that was very disappointing. You know, that was very disheartening. And you know, that will happen at times. That, I mean, it's just part of life, but because of that, that's why we always put our feet on the ground over there. We always want to make sure who we're working with, that there's integrity. And, you know, even in the secular world, a lot of these children organizations are actually covers for sex trafficking. I'm not going to name anything, but there are specific, organizations who have been discovered that they, while on the front look like they're helping children, on the backside, they're actually trafficking children. And so, that just made me so sick, you know, like, and my prayer is constantly that the Lord would uncover those things and expose them and hold them accountable. So with all that said, I was praying for an organization I could partner with that had integrity and that the money was going where I thought that it would be going or expected it to be going, and that they were actually doing the work of the Great Commission, that they were reaching the lost, that they were ministering to the poor and to the orphan and to the widow, that they were making disciples and reaching the nations. And Compassion International does all of that. And the way they do that is we find sponsors. I'm a sponsor. I actually sponsored my first child in high school when I got my first job. And so I go way back with them. And it's neat. Now I'm an ambassador for their ministry. Before I just, you know, was a partner with their ministry. Now I'm an ambassador. And so it's $38 a month. And what it takes care of is they believe in the holistic health of a child. And so they take care of not just their food and nutrition, but their clothing, their home, their medical health. And so they make sure they get medical care, their spiritual health. And so they make sure they are a part of that local church, that all the funding and the supplies actually come through that local church. And so these children are getting discipled spiritually. They also provide counselors and people who can tend to the emotional health of these children, who many of them have been through traumatizing situations living in poverty, you know. In fact, it's when I heard the stories of what's normal for these children, I just cried. But like, if you sit down with one of the children that are over there, their way of life is so different than ours. It's like we can't even grasp that. You ask them what they want to be when they grow up, and they say they want to be 10 years old. And the reason they say 10 years old is because they don't know that they're going to make it to 10 years old, because their siblings died of starvation, you know? And so their mission in life is to make it to 10 years old. And so this, the woman who is my liaison with the company, she was there on a missions trip in Guatemala and sat down with a young mother. And the young mother was telling her, she said, you know, my daughter got sponsored by Compassion. And so we're trying to save our money to buy back my older daughter, because we had to sell her so that the family could eat. I mean, she just said it very matter of factly. And the daughter was sold into sex trafficking. And what the traffickers will do is they'll come to these impoverished families who, when you can't eat and your basic needs of survival are not met, you don't function in the normal way of thinking. It is life and death all the time. And so when a trafficker comes to these families and they say, I can provide a job for your child and you'll make a year's wages in a month, then they're like, holy cow, yes, this is the salvation we've been looking for. And so they'll easily give up their child. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some emotional conflict, but they'll give up their child for the sake of saving their family. And then they think, we all get to survive this way. It's a win-win, but their child is being sold into sex slavery. And so by relieving the pressure of poverty, it really can prevent those children from being pulled into that situation. And not to mention, it actually begins to nurture, giving them a future, giving them an education, giving them life skills, so then they can begin to create wealth for their family, for their futures, for their communities. And it's such a domino effect of how it really changes the whole area around them. And so it's awesome. And financially, a lot of these kind of organizations, only 15 to 30% of relief organizations, only that much money goes to the actual project that you're giving towards. But with Compassion, 85% of the money that is being given is going directly to that child. Only 15% is used for administrative costs. And so, so all in all, this this ministry was such an answer to prayer for me to be able to get involved and make a difference. So,
amen. Well, we'll put links to this down below in the show notes so that people that hear this episode, hear your the passion in your voice, you know, that may be what the Holy Spirit needs to move them to take action in this area. So we'll be sure to put links in the show notes for that. Amen.
Thank you. I pray so. Well, actually, if I can just share, my goal is to have 100 kids sponsored by June. And because of COVID, there's about 1.5 million people that have crossed into the poverty line, crossed over that poverty line and are now struggling to survive. And, but because of COVID, sponsorships are down because, you know, people all over the place have lost jobs. I lost a job during COVID, you know, like it's affected all of us. But there are still many, many, many people who would be able to afford the $38 a month. And so, if people would go to compassion.com/JavaWithJen, that'll take them right to a sign up sponsorship screen.
Amen. Amen. And the link to that is on your website as well?
The link to that is on my, I kind of use Instagram actually as my point of connection. And so my Instagram, if they go to Java with Jen on Instagram, then all of those are in the link in my bio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll put links to all that down below. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of my interview with Jenny Lee Samuel, host of the Java with Jen podcast. Now, her podcast began as an outgrowth of her personal ministry. And if you have not listened to any of her episodes, I encourage you to go down into the show notes and do so. Just click the links down below. I mean, she is all over social media. Her podcasts reflect the person you actually heard in our interview today. She's upbeat, but always spot on with her faith. Praise God. She and her husband met at Bible college and have been working in the ministry ever since. Hallelujah. Now, be sure to go down in the show notes and reach out to her. Subscribe to her podcast. Follow her on social media. And while you're at it, support their mission field work by donating to Free Life Missions. And I encourage you to support the efforts she's making with Compassion International. Now, in our next episode, I'll pick up our conversation with Jenny Lee as we discuss her life as a child of missionary parents and some of the things that she learned from that. You do not want to miss this next episode. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.